Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today I'm delighted to be talking with Deborah Lynn Jacobs, the author of three novels for young people. Her newest book is a young adult novel called Choices. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Rochelle. Thank you very much for having me here.
Well, I'm glad to be talking to you. Tell us about your newest book, Choices.
Okay. Choices is, as you said, a young adult novel. It's written for ages 12 and up, but I think it'll particularly appeal to teens in the 14 to 17-year-old category because of some of the themes. The themes, though, also appeal to adults, and I've had just as many emails from adults as I have from teens.
Wow.
That they read the book and really enjoyed it. So I thought that was interesting. It's available in all the regular bookstores. If they don't have it in stock, just ask for it. And obviously on Amazon as well. Choices was based on the idea, the premise, what if there were multiple copies of you living out variations of your life in an infinite number of realities? And that's something that has always fascinated me, the idea of multiple universes, multiple copies of us. And it was just a really fun concept for me
to
get my head around. Choices begins with Kathleen. I want to call her Catherine. Everybody does. Kathleen makes a choice, and that is she allows herself to be influenced by her friend and goes to a party, and she knows there's going to be stuff going on, drinking and drugs. But Kathleen's above the influence, you know, and she goes because her friend wants to go. But then her friend gets drunk and can't drive her home. And Kathleen does not drive. She's scared to drive. And so she calls her brother for a ride home. And that one little decision ripples through the rest of her life in terms of her brother, being a good brother, comes to pick her up, but is killed in a car accident on his way to get her. And now Kathleen is living with that guilt and that remorse and her anger at her friend, you know, for getting drunk and abandoning her.
Yeah.
Kathleen's life begins to fracture very soon after her brother's death. Her friend, Jen, comes over full of remorse, wanting forgiveness, wanting to be friends, and Kathleen turns her away at the door, won't even talk to her. She's so angry. But Kathleen has another memory of that. She remembers letting Jen inside. She remembers drinking hot chocolate with marshmallows in it and hugging and crying and saying to Jen, it wasn't your fault, it was an accident, I don't blame you. And as time goes on, Kathleen has more and more of these memories of having made one decision, but paradoxically having made the other decision as well. And she thinks she's going crazy until she meets a fellow traveler, a fellow shifter, and his name is Luke. He is a college friend of her brother's, and he gives her a different explanation. That every decision you make causes your universe to split. So in one universe you went to the party, in the other you didn't. In one you forgave your friend, in the other you didn't. And so it allowed me to explore what happens when you make a decision. For example, Kay cuts her hair, it's either Kay or Kate, no, I think it's Kate, cuts her hair short, dyes it blue. And people start reacting to her in a much different way than they do to her as Kathleen. And that changes her world. It changes how she sees herself, and she becomes much more aggressive and outgoing, and her personality changes. And so it allows me to look at all of those, and it sounds a little bit like a heavy book, but really it isn't. This is a fast read.
Really? I'm just fascinated by this whole shifter thing.
Yep.
It just sounds fascinating. I'm interested in something you said early on, that both adults and teens are reading it.
Yes.
And I'd read in a review recently that the reviewer was sad that some book had been cast away as a young adult novel because it meant that people weren't going to be reading it.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if you can kind of define young adult literature and talk a little bit about the choice to publish for young adults.
Right.
Instead of, you know, for adults who are obviously finding it and loving it.
Right.
So can you talk about that?
Certainly. I think the quick explanation is young adult literature is written for 12 to 18-year-olds, and that means your main character is usually somewhere between the ages of 14 and 18. People like to read up a bit. I love this genre. I read young adult literature, and I write young adult literature because I love it so much. Young adult literature is just as complex as an adult book.
Mm-hmm.
So the themes, the plots, the subplots, usually superb characterization in young adult books, and often rather fast-paced because they're being written for teens who, you know, even though they do read much longer books at that age, sometimes they want something that's good, fast, and something you can finish in a night or two. They cover any category you can imagine. So, you know, contemporary, historical, futuristic, realistic, fantasy, science fiction, mystery. And some young adult books you might term as problem or issue novels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like date rape, drug use, suicide, mental illness, cancer. And those are the ones that are edgier and that are dealing with very difficult and sometimes very controversial issues. And other young adult books I would categorize more as coming-of-age books. Because I don't know if you remember your teen years, but I remember them as a time of just explosive intellectual growth and emotional growth. The teen is trying to define their own identity, you know, not just within their family like a small child does, but within their greater society, within their culture. And they may question authority or begin to decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong, not so much what they've been taught as right or wrong, but how they're going to live their own life. And some of the questions they're asking at that age, who am I? What will I become? What will I do with my life? How will I make my life count in some way? And I think that's what makes young adult literature so exciting, because you have these terrific themes, wonderfully exciting conflict, and young adult literature usually has really satisfying emotional growth. The character starts here and they end up there, and they learn something about themselves along in the journey. So I think that's why I love it so much and why I write it. But I joke with people and say, I guess the other reason I write it is I'm stuck at an emotional age at 18, you know, and I'm still trying to figure out, who am I? How do I fit into this world? How will I make a difference? One thing that makes me feel kind of good is I have these books as a legacy, you know.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because as you talk about the questions of young adults, I think they're the questions of people in middle age, too. You know, a lot of people ask at different points of their life, who am I and why does my life matter and why am I here and what am I supposed to accomplish?
I think that's right. And I think, you know, empty nesters go through that all over again. Okay, the kids are gone and that part of my life has slowed down somewhat. You know, I don't have to be here every day at 3.
Yep.
What am I going to do with the next 50 years?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I think maybe I hadn't thought about it that way. So maybe I'm not stuck at 18 after all.
Now, you talked about a number of genres of young adult literature.
Right.
What genre would you consider choices?
Oh, boy. Nobody knows quite how to classify it. and that's the same as the book that came out, my second book, Powers. Powers. Some people class that as paranormal, some as fantasy, supernatural. All those labels went on it. Choices is being called fantasy. I would call it soft science fiction, maybe, because it is based on actual quantum mechanic theories.
Yeah.
But it's being classed as fantasy. I prefer the term speculative fiction. And that's a term that's used, I think, a little more in Canada than down here. And it's an older term that keeps coming and going. It comes into vogue, and then it goes out of vogue, and then it comes in again. And speculative fiction includes fantasy, science fiction, paranormal, supernatural, magical realism, horror. It sort of lumps them all into a category, and that's sort of where I see it, anyway.
Oh, that's a great, I've never heard the term speculative fiction. I think that's a great.
Yeah. I think it's out of vogue now. I think it's not used as much right now.
Well, it's a great thought, speculative fiction. Well, one of the things I've noticed in reading young adult novels is that they have these distinct and powerful voices.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about what voice is and give some tips to our listeners who are writers about how to find and stay true to voice as a writer?
Sure. I love thinking and talking about voice because Powers, which came out last September, is written in two voices, a girl and a boy, with alternating chapters. And Choices, it starts out in one voice and then goes into four voices. So that was something I really had to learn, mostly by reading hundreds of novels and studying whatever books I could find on the craft of writing, but mostly sitting down and just putting the time in, you know, to learn how to do that. When I was first starting to write, I would go to conferences, and editors would always say, I can't define voice for you, but when I hear it, I know it. And I thought, oh, well, that's helpful, but okay. And a lot of young adult novels today are written in first person. And so voice in first person is the character's voice, because the character's telling you their story. So character is voice. Voice is character. And so as a writer, you need to know your character inside out and backwards.
Yeah.
When you're writing. And the voice will come from that. And inside out and backwards, you have to be able to hear their voices in your head, see them, picture them sitting there in the chair. What are they doing? Are they drumming their fingers? Are they looking up the ceiling? Are they sitting all prim and proper? What did they have for breakfast this morning? You know, what kind of underwear are they wearing? Is she wearing a thong, or is she wearing cotton granny panties that her mom chooses for her? White, of course, so, you know. But you need to know deep inside them in terms of what is their vocabulary, the words they choose. For example, I'll ask my character, what do you call that part of your anatomy that you sit on? And my characters will come up with a word, and sometimes it'll be a very polite word like derriere, and other times it will be a word that might offend some people, you know? But that will tell me something about that character, their upbringing, their background, their education, whether they read a lot or not, their belief system. And that's one thing you need to do as a writer. What does your character want? What secrets do they have? What do they fear? What was their most embarrassing moment? What do they believe about their place in the world? And from that, you can put them into any situation. And that's a good exercise to do. Take your character and throw them into a situation. Okay, you're at a grocery store. You hand the clerk a 10. She mistakenly gives you back a 20. What do you do? And different characters will do different things in that situation, depending on everything that makes them unique. So I think that once you know your character as well as you know yourself, the voice will come through. It is just something that will happen, and you can modify it, you can work on it. But the voice, it'll be a natural. It'll grow naturally from your knowledge of your character.
So does the work that you do on kind of character development happen before you start the novel, or does it happen parallel to writing the novel, or both?
I usually hear the character talking before I start, and I usually start writing the novel and almost just giving myself license to just write. You know, don't worry about... At that point, don't even worry about where the novel's going. And certainly don't worry too much about themes or anything like that. And then I'll get stuck. And that's when I realize I don't know the character and I don't know the outcome. And I need to sit down and, first of all, interview my character, get to know them. And also pages and pages and pages and pages of notebooks. I buy them, you know, when they're on sale for like 3 for $1, I'll buy 20 of them. And just fill them with pages and pages. And a lot of the time I'll interview my character. You know, what are you most afraid of? What scares you? What don't you want people to know about you? And actually, on my website, I have, for the book Powers, I have biographies of Adrian and Gwen. And I asked them that. What don't you want people to know? And they both told me. And then I went deeper. What don't you really want them to know about you? And I found out. And then I went deeper. What do you really, really, really never want anyone ever to discover about you? And they both told me things. And I thought, okay, now we're getting somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Now I've got a handle on who you are. Have I gone off topic?
No, this is great.
I'm really excited about this sort of thing. I really get excited about it.
This is great because I think that the idea of actually interviewing your character seems like a great thing to do, but it's an unusual technique.
I don't know. I think it's fairly common.
Uh-huh.
My critique group and I have shared, you know, we'll send each other lists of questions to ask your character or things to think about.
Yeah.
You know, there are some things you don't figure out about a character. You really don't know. When I was writing Choices, I actually had the outline of the book already, and I flowcharted the book first because otherwise I knew somebody would catch me in an inconsistency because it's a complicated plot in a way.
Yeah.
It was complicated to write. But when I started writing the scenes with the different girls in it, and I talked to each of them about, you know, how they were feeling right now, and you get to that depth of feeling, and then the information pours out of them. It's really cool. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds like, yeah, we talk to our characters, but yes.
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I'm wondering if you then go back and refer to the notebooks while you're writing, or if it just kind of becomes organically part of the writing.
I sometimes refer to the notebook. If I get stuck in a scene, it's usually because I don't know what my character wants.
Yeah.
And so I will go for a long walk and talk to my character and say, okay, you're going into this scene. You're going into, well, Kathleen, you're going to your brother's funeral. What do you want? And Kathleen is like, I want to escape. I want to escape all these people, you know. I mean, if they talk to me, all they're really saying to me is, your mother's so lucky to have you, and I'm sure you're such a great support to your mom and dad right now. And she's furious, you know, angry, but she doesn't dare say nasty things to the people who've come to her mother's funeral, so she just needs to get out of there.
Well, it's very helpful.
I go off topic.
No, you're fine. I wondered if you could give, you know, if you have any advice to a listener who wants to write for the young adult market.
Oh, yeah, lots. Tons, lots and lots. I started writing in isolation, and it was very difficult because I was living in a small northern Ontario town, and I didn't have a critique group. We didn't have internet at the time.
Wow.
It hadn't been invented, you know. So the first book I wrote was largely on my own without feedback, and it was a very difficult process. So I would say people who want to write for young adults, get connected with other writers in every way you can. Join SCBWI, which is the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and they're website is scbwi.org, or the local chapter, the Wisconsin chapter, is scbwi-wi.com.
Great.
And there you will find a wealth of information, writing tips, advice on the craft of writing, advice on finding a publisher, lists of publishers, really everything you need to get started. You can go to local or national conferences, and each chapter will have their own little local conference as well as the big national ones. And our local chapter has sponsored special weekends, too, for novel revision, picture book development. And in March, we're going to be having a day-long workshop for new writers. And it's like an intensive, here's what you need to know.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. I'll be involved in that a little bit. So join SCBWI. Read books published in the last 10 years, because the books you read as a teen are a lot different than the books teens are reading today. A huge difference. And in order to write for that market, you have to understand that market and understand your competition, basically. So I would say read everything you can get your hands on in the last 10 years or so. And then go to authors' websites. Follow the links that they have. Link to other authors' websites, see what they write about in terms of the craft of writing, and then get onto some internet forums about writing. And a lot of those are hosted through Yahoo Groups, and you can simply go to yahoogroups.com, type in children's writer or young adult literature, and you will find groups you can join. And I think I've learned the most through them.
Wow.
So just being in those groups, because people will ask questions that I would like to know the answer to as well. And it's just young adult writers will, or children's writers in general, are, I've heard anyway, that they're known for giving away the tricks of the trade almost, you know, helping new writers, wanting to help the next writer up.
Well, that's great.
Which is very cool. It's a very supportive atmosphere.
Now, you mentioned that you're part of a critique group.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners about how critique groups have been successful for you and what makes them good?
Sure. I've been in a number of critique groups, and some of them more successful than others. Some have fallen apart because of individual circumstances. You know, people just don't have time, or something happens in their life and they have to give up writing for a bit or whatever. The one I'm in right now, I've been in for, I don't know how long, maybe 4 or 5 years. And we're an email group primarily. So we communicate by email. And there's 6 of us, I think, now. I believe we are 6 now. So we will send, we're all novel writers, either middle grade or young adult. And every 6 weeks, somebody will sub their novel. So we take turns critiquing each other's novels. And everybody critiques, and everybody receives a copy of everybody else's critique. So if I'm critiquing someone's novel, I'll also get the copies of my other group members, and I can see all of their comments and all of their line edits. And that will help me see maybe even where my own blind spots are. You know? Like, oh, gee, I didn't even pick up on that, and somebody else did. So it helps us both as readers and writers. But I think one thing that's made our critique group very successful is the high level of trust we have. The fact that we're all in SCBWI and have all met in person. And that, you don't need that necessarily for a critique group. But for us, I think it was very helpful in terms of having a face and a voice to go along with the email and to be able to sit down and, you know, we could talk writing for hours, hours and hours. And the other thing is the people in my group are dedicated writers, whether they're working or not. There's one woman who is working as a teacher. She gets up at 4:30 in the morning to write every day.
Wow.
I know. She blows me away. I mean, 4:30 is still the middle of the night to me. I'm a night hawk anyway, but everyone in the group is very serious about writing, and when there are extra, you know, conferences, extra workshops, they'll go to those. We'll share books that we've read and discuss them. We'll share market information, books on the craft of writing, we'll talk about that. So all of those things, it's not just a group where we're critiquing each other. It's also a support group where we're trying to help each other along to the next step of our careers.
That's amazing.
It's been absolutely fantastic. It really has. And it doesn't always happen. You may get into a critique group that isn't working for you. And in that case, get out. You know, get out. Form your own critique group or join a critique group. And if the way they operate doesn't work for you, a lot of face-to-face groups and a lot of groups will face-to-face critique like a chapter at a time. And that works very well for some people who want feedback as they're writing a novel. But for me, I don't want input until I have a first draft.
Mm.
Or even better, I usually, when I've done a revision already, that's when I want input. So, yeah, I would say if it doesn't work the first time, try again. Because you will meet the right mix of people.
Wow. Deborah, this has been fascinating. I appreciate this so much. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Oh, good. It's always
fun
to talk writing, isn't it?
It is. And thank you for the opportunity.
No problem. This has been another edition of Always Write with Rochelle, the Write Now Coach. You can find a link to Deborah's website and her books at my website, writenowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.